So the next few weeks, I'm talking about this around this topic, like this is my city. And that's why it says it kind of big on the back wall, and that's what that video was about, and kind of trying to set things up just a little different for us so that we get it as a special thing, because I don't want it just to be like, oh, yeah, that was a nice message series, Andrew, done. But let's really think about it and really let's get something on our heart for this, because, like, I guess I thought, like, this idea kind of came to me, like, a while back. I was thinking about kind of how God has put all of us in our own lives. Like, this is my life, this is my world, this is my city, this is my church, like, this is me, and we can either, like, live lives that kind of avoid that or just kind of go along or whatever, or we can really embrace that this is where God's put us and we can really do something with it. And I guess that's what I felt God was saying to me, and, like, so then that's kind of what I want to share around tonight, that we would really get, like, a fresh heart for the city that we live in and a fresh kind of vision for what God's got for all of us, like, as a church and as individuals. Do I need to, like, swap? This thing's cracking and it's making, turning off. And sorry for the, there's been, like, some technical distractions tonight. That's okay. So, like, we've been put in this place for a reason. And I think, like, we need to be people that really, like, our calling is to not just kind of go, yeah, okay, I'm here for this little while, and so I'll do my thing, and then whatever. But to really understand that really God has really placed us all here for a reason, placed us all here for a purpose, and that He's got something really special for us. And so that's what I kind of think the next few weeks are about. And I really want it just to be kind of casual and conversational almost, except that I'm going to be the only one talking. So it's like monoversational. That's not a word. I just said it and it's going to be on the podcast, so it's a word now. But really that we would just be people that just, yeah, understand that we're here for a purpose. And we're in this city for a reason and we haven't just randomly turned up. I like what Ben said in the video. Like, it might look like sometimes like this random kind of series of events, but God's really got His hand on that. And God's really at work in that. And God's really putting you in place for a reason. And so I really, like, this is not like a tourist campaign or something. Like, everyone's seen the I Heart the Gong, whatever, and I don't know, they're a bit lame, I think, but that's all right. But I really like a heart thing, and I really want us to kind of, for me, it was really like, this is my city, this is my place, this is where God has put me, and I'm here for a purpose, and that's what it's about. Yeah, I think that there is significance in taking ownership. So when I look at Wollongong, I can say, well, this is the city that I live in. This is like the city that I moved to as a kid, or I can say this is my city. And then I can look at the needs around and say, well, that's my need. They are my people. This is my city. Like, there is power in, and maybe that's just to begin with a vocabulary shift, but there is power in really taking ownership of something, yeah? Because when you own something, like, you've invested into it. And you've given it a value. Yeah. When you go and you buy, like, your new car or whatever, or a house, or I don't know, your new iPod, or you buy something, like, it has this set value. And you pay that money, and you own it, and so you're saying, I really believe that it's worth that much. Yeah. Because I'm willing to invest my hard-earned money into that product. So it's mine now because I paid for it and I own it, yeah? And so then when you own it, it's yours and you treat it differently. I remember, like, I started building my bike, like, a long time ago now, I guess, and I've talked about my bike a few times, but, like, when you start to own something, it means more to you, yeah? And you're willing to invest more into it. So you invest time, you invest money, like, you invest yourself into something because it means something to you and because you own it. And like, a bike or a product or a possession, like, is kind of meaningless. But I really felt God saying, like, own the city. Like, this is our city. This is my city. Like, this is your city. And it's there for us. And God's like saying, well, look, get a heart for this place because it's yours. It's not somebody else's that you're hanging out in. This is not the council's city. It's not like some other religion's city. It's not the university's city. It's not your friend's city. It's your city. You're here, yeah? Unless you are here just randomly for a visit, and then in that case, welcome to Wollongong. I'm glad you're here. But most of us live here, yeah? And so let's not take that for granted, yeah? And I think another thing that happens when we start to say it's mine is that we start to feel like we belong. Like, we stop kind of thinking that we're this outsider that's kind of just visiting, and we start to find a place of belonging where we are, yeah? And when you belong somewhere, you can be bold. When you belong somewhere, you're confident. Like, when you're in your own home, like, you can really just be yourself. You can just relax. You can be confident because it's yours. When you're driving in your car, you can play your music as loud as you want, and you can yell at it and sing along as loud as you want, and it doesn't matter because you're in your car. If you're in somebody else's car, you can't just change their station and turn it up. Like, that's rude. But when you're in your car, it's your car. And when we're in our city, like, I think sometimes we have this kind of tentativeness because we don't know if we belong. And we look at, like, the rest of the city and think, well, they belong in Wollongong, but I'm not sure about me. And so we kind of go about lives that I think are really easily ignorable because we're not bold. And I had a scary thought that, like, I think it's far worse to be forgotten than to be persecuted as a Christian. I would much rather be persecuted for my faith than to be ignored. Because, like, nobody's, like, if you're not doing anything, if we aren't staking a claim for where we are for God, then people will be able to ignore us and we'll be the church at the end of a cul-de-sac that nobody sees, that nobody cares about, and we'll be people that everybody can just ignore. And that's a scary thought. I love how, like, weather permitting, we do our baptisms at Belmore Basin. Because for me, it says, like, this is my city. I have just as much a right to get baptized in my Belmore Basin as that family has to go and have a picnic, yeah? Because it's my city. It's not like we don't have to feel like when we're doing stuff in the community, like it's awkward or like we don't have a right to be there. But we do. We've been placed here. We've been put here by God for a purpose, and we can really take claim to that and say, well, this is my city, and so I'm going to do what God's told me to do.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen? I think we just kind of get this thing sometimes where we're just like, oh, I'm not sure. It might be a bit weird. People might think that the Christians are strange, but God's like, what are you doing? I've put you here for a reason. Take a hold of that thing and do something with it. You've been placed there for a purpose. Grab it. Say, this is my city and I'm going to do something about it. Amen. When you see the needs around you, like Ben's talking, like, don't just go, well, oh yeah, I'm just here for work. I'm just here for uni. I'm just here for a little while and then I'm kind of moving on to bigger things. But say, oh, that's my need because it's the need of my city. It's the need of people around me. It's the need of my neighbor. It's the need of my friend. It's the need of my family. So that's like, when you have ownership, you have responsibility.
Yes.
We have like our little annoying dogs. But because they're our little annoying dogs, you're responsible for them. Once I rode from like somewhere, I can't remember. It was really hot and I rode all the way like home and I got in the back gate. And as soon as I opened the gate to get into the backyard, both dogs just shot straight out the door, and I had just ridden like a long way and I was really tired, and the dogs just did a runner, and so I had to drop my bike and run down the street after them because they're our dogs. And I can't just expect some stranger to get them and to feed them and to bring them into their house and to look after them, because that's, unless you want, unless you know, come and talk later. Two lovely, lovely little white dogs that deserve a loving home. Bronwyn loves them. She does. We all love the dogs. They're their family, so it's okay. But like, you know what I mean? Like, you have responsibility because it's yours. And so we need to be people that take responsibility for our city because it's our city. And we can't get to heaven and say, well, God, like those people, they just, you know, they were all over. They were doing all sorts. What was I supposed to do about that? And God says, well, that was your city. They were your people. They were your friends. They were your classmates. They were your colleagues. Take some responsibility for what you've got there. And that's a challenge, I think, but it's real, and that's what God has for us. And so I guess, like, this next few weeks, that's what I want to share. And I guess this is all just kind of, I don't know if I've really got lots of points. I've just got stuff that's on my heart that I want to share, but just go with it with me, and that'll be fine. We moved to Wollongong when I was 6 years old, and it was like Christmas, so I turned 7 when I was here, and Colin was at my 7th birthday party. And so when we moved to Wollongong, like, we were Queenslanders. I still will go for Queensland in the state of origin, mostly I don't know, because I can, and everybody wants to, really. So I'm going to take my little sliver of Queenslander and run with it because they dominate. No, not really, but when you move somewhere new, and a lot of people here might have a similar story to Ben, where like you move for uni or you move for work or something, like you've moved for somewhere where you weren't born here, and a lot of you were born in Wollongong, but like Wollongong is now like my home. It's my city, and when I go somewhere else and they ask where I'm from Wollongong, and that's exciting and to everybody. And sometimes, you know, Wollongong gets a bit knocked, and we do it ourselves a little bit, but I really think we need to start, maybe we need to change that a little. Maybe we need to start speaking life over our city. Like when somebody says, oh, where are you from? Say, well, I'm from Wollongong, and God's got something amazing for that place. And do something about it, yeah? Because really, like, this is a pretty amazing place that God has put us in. He has an amazing plan for us here, and as a church and as people, like, I think we need to start to get a heart for the reason that we're here in this city, and we need to start to get a heart for the people that are around us, yeah? We're not here by accident. We're not here just to do our thing, but God has placed us here for a purpose.
Yeah.
I was reading in John, and there's this really famous story in John 4, and it's about this Samaritan woman that Jesus meets at a well. You may or may not know the story, but what I was really interested was this. It says that, like, Jesus had heard this stuff about what the Pharisees were saying and all this stuff. And so he says he left Judea where he was, and he left to go to Galilee. But it says now, on the way, he had to go through Samaria. So he came to this town in Samaria called Sychar. Who knows if that's how you say, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. And I was interested that Jesus is on his way to somewhere else. And sometimes I think we can look at the place that we live sometimes as on our way to somewhere else. And we can think that the school we're in, the job we're in, the city that we're in, whatever, that's like we're on our way to something better, something bigger, something else. I know when I was at school, everybody pretty much wanted to leave Wollongong. Like, everybody's vision for finishing year 12 was, I'm moving to Sydney, I'm moving to Melbourne. Like, and a lot of them did. But, like, it's really interesting here that this is Jesus' situation. He literally is on his way somewhere else, and he's just stopping by in this town called Sychar, yeah? But when he's there, this woman comes up and starts to talk to him, and Jesus starts to talk to her and finds out that there's this stuff in her life, and in the end, really, that she just needs salvation. She needs God in her life in a powerful way. And Jesus, I think, shows us a picture of really being where we are, if that makes sense. Like, being in the place that your body is. Because sometimes we can be in Wollongong, but we're not in Wollongong. But Jesus is in this town called Sychar. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Who cares? I'm going to go with that pronunciation just so we're consistent. So he's in this place called Sychar, and he's not from there. He doesn't even live there. He's on his way to Galilee, but he's there at this time, and this need comes up in front of him. This woman comes to him with this need, and Jesus spends time with her. Jesus talks to her, and Jesus lifts her up. Jesus saves her. Like, Jesus, like, gives, like, says all this stuff and says, like, all, and just literally, she comes to know who Jesus is. And then because of that, like, this Samaritan woman goes to the rest of the people in her town, because I think she's realized this is her town. And she tells them about Jesus and what he's done. And then I like this. It says in verse 45, then after 2 days he left for Galilee. So Jesus, while he was on his way to somewhere else, ended up staying in this town for 2 days because he had a heart for it. He had a heart for the people there. And he knew that God, like, that he was there, not just because he was tired and he needed a drink of water, but because there were people that needed him. Yeah? So sometimes, like, we have this attitude that we are just passing through, or that maybe God is even just passing through. And to do something significant for God, we need to go somewhere bigger, but or better or something. But Jesus' heart is for every place. Like, God's heart is for every city, every town, every village, like, every little place there. And so let's not just say, like, oh, I'm here for now, but in the future, God's going to do something big with me. Therefore, I need to move. Like, maybe that's what God's got for you in the long term, and maybe you're not supposed to be in Wollongong for the rest of your life. Maybe, like, probably many of us won't be, but right now you are. If you're in this room listening, you are in Wollongong, and God's put you here for a reason. And so we need to be people that they're like Jesus. Don't say, "Well, I'm just on my way to somewhere else, so I'm not going to do anything right now. I'm just going to rest." But say, "Well, I've been put here for a purpose. God has actually placed me in this city for a purpose, and it's mine." And I'm going to take ownership of it. I'm going to take responsibility for it. And I'm going to do something about the things that are around us, yeah? This needs to be just like a heart change in us. That it goes from, like, this is this place where I came to study, to this is my city. Getting God's heart for our city. He loves every person in Wollongong. When we can get this heart change, I think that's when we start to see impact and we start to see things change in the city around us, yeah? We have this mission and this purpose in our city, and your work is not for your money. Your uni is not for studying, like, your school is not for killing time until you finish school. Like, there's a bigger purpose to the place that we've been put, yeah? We haven't just randomly ended up there. Yeah, we've been placed there. In Acts 16, I was reading this story, and it's about Paul and Silas, and it says that they're on this way to this place, and they end up in this other city. And I'm going to read from verse 16 in Acts 16. It says, "Once, when we were going to take to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, 'These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved.' She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the spirit, 'In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her.' At that moment, the spirit left her. Then her owners realized their hope of making money was gone. They seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, 'These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar.'" I like that. That's what, like, kind of stood out to me in this story, that here are Paul and Silas, and they're just going about their life in this city. They're just doing their thing, that, like, they would go to the temple every week or every day to pray. And they're just doing their thing. But then something comes up they're faced with this situation and they do something about it. And then when people come, like when people get angry about it, they say, these people, these Jewish people, they're throwing our city into an uproar. And I was like, how great is that? Like, wouldn't it be great if that's what the people say about us? Like, those people from City Life, they are they're throwing our city into uproar. Because so much is changing because they are here. Because these people decided to live in this city, everything is just kind of messed up now. And like, that's what these guys are saying about Paul and Silas. And they lived these lives that just couldn't be ignored. They got to the place where they were, yeah, and they were going about their lives, but they understand that there is this bigger purpose about what they're there for. They're not just there to go to a temple and pray. They're not just there to go to a service and leave and get along with their life, but they're there for a purpose, and they're there to have an impact. And because of that, like, that's what people are saying, that there's uproar because of these guys. And that's like, that's how we're called to live in this city. I really believe that's what, like, God has got for us. Yeah. Like, it's not to be a church that is just ignorable. To be Christians who, like, people can just brush off. Like, in your workplace, can people just brush you off as, like, the Christian guy? Or not even know at all? Or whatever, or in your class, like, are people able to just ignore what you say, or do you have impact there? Are you there for the needs of the people around you? Because I'm not talking about, like, jumping up and slapping somebody with your Bible and saying, repent. Like, I'm talking about having a real impact in the place where you are, because you've been put there for a purpose, and there are people with needs around you that you have been put in that situation for. And we can't ever think that we are here just for a little while, or that we have this attitude where we don't really like the place where we are. But we need to be, like, we need to, I really believe, we need to embrace and take responsibility for the place that God has placed us. Because the reality is, we're here for a reason. And it's not an accident that you live in the place that you live. And even if you think you're only here for another, until you graduate, or you're only here until the next opportunity or whatever, and maybe that's true. Maybe God, like, God has different plans for all of us, and who knows how long we'll be living in Wollongong. But while we do live in Wollongong, this is our Wollongong. And I think we really need to claim it, yeah? To be people that don't just live here, but get a heart for our city, yeah? That not just do our day-to-day stuff, but understand our mission here. I think it's so easy for, like, us to send a team of people to China for 2 weeks and understand that they're on a mission, and that's missions. And then, like, we get this postcard with these amazing testimonies, and we say, that's great because they're on missions. And that's what you do when you're on missions. But God's like, well, you're on missions right now. I said go into all the world, and that includes Wollongong. And so let's really be people that don't just do our day-to-day life because it's our day-to-day life, but understand that we've been placed here for a reason, yeah? Seek opportunities to meet the needs around you. Seek opportunities to talk to people about what you've got in your heart. Pray for your city. Pray for your school. Pray for your university. Pray for your workplace. Like, really take responsibility and the weight of that. I think that we're called to carry that in a way. Like, not just in our own strength, of course, but we're called to know that this is ours and to have responsibility for where God has put us and do something about it, amen? Find what God has for you, what God's putting on your heart. Maybe there's a specific thing that you really feel God speaking to you. Do it here and now. Like, maybe there's a thing that God's got on your heart, then that's for here now too. It's not just for some time in the future. Like, Ben was, like, talking about young adults and the drinking culture that's in our city. And I think it's actually, I'm pretty sure that, like, Glass House was voted, like, one of the worst nightclubs in the country or something. Like, for violence and crime. I don't know the statistic, but, like, if that's your heart, then let it be your heart. Don't just think, oh, well, I just better just keep going along with it because, you know, who knows where God's got for me in the future. But let's really take here and now and take responsibility for it. Amen. So I guess that's what I've got for tonight, and I hope, like, the next few weeks, just to share more on that and just more on how we can really take ownership of the place that God has put us, and really, yeah, seek Him with that. So I'm just going to finish up with some prayer. God, I just thank You that You have placed us in this city, God, that You have put us in this amazing place called Wollongong, and that You have a heart for every person here. Lord, that You have a heart for every single life that's in this city. And God, I pray that You would help us to really understand Your purpose and Your reason for putting us in this place, God, whether we've been here for our whole lives or whether we've moved here recently, God, it doesn't matter, but You have brought us to this place, to this city for a purpose and a reason. And God, I want all of us just to have Your heart for this city, Lord. So I pray that You'll just be with us right now, that You would just fill our spirits, God, and that You would just give us Your heart for the people around us. God, I pray that you would just show us the needs around us and help us to take responsibility for them, God, and really be the people that You've called us to be in this city. Maybe if you want to just, I guess over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about this, and I really want this just to be like a heart thing and not just a series. Maybe if you want to do that with me the next few weeks, I just want you to stand up just with me and we'll just pray together. If you really want to say, yeah, God, I really want to take what You've got for me in this city seriously, and I really want to understand that I'm here for a purpose. I really want to take hold of the plan that You've got for me here and now, right in this place, God. I want to lift up the people that I see every day that don't know You, and I want them to come into relationship with You. I want to like acknowledge that I am in my classroom or in my workplace because You have put me there and because You have a plan for me. And I guess the next few weeks we're just going to explore that more and talk about that and pray about that. And I really believe God's going to do something with this time. So yeah, there's just heaps of people standing already, which is awesome. So let's just pray. God, I thank You for everybody here tonight, Lord, for every person. And God, for the heart that You've given us for this city and for these people. And God, I pray that these next few weeks, You would just really speak to us in power. God, speak to us through Your word. God, bring Your promise, bring Your purpose into our lives. God, show us the things that You have for us to do here and now. God, that even now You would be putting things on our hearts. God, even now You would be confirming things in our spirit that we've been thinking about the place around us, the people around us, God, and that You would have Your way in this city, Lord, that You would have Your purpose done in this city, Lord, and in our lives. And Lord, that because of us, God, like we want this city to be in an uproar. We don't just want to be ignorable, God, but we want You to use us for Your glory, Lord, in this city. Amen. Before we finish, if you don't have a relationship with God, then I want to give you an opportunity to start that relationship with God. And so, like I read before in Romans, how Paul, like the same Paul that caused a city to be in uproar, says that because of Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation. Because of Christ Jesus, you can be free. And that's the truth, and that's the reality. And so, like Jesus died on the cross for us so that we wouldn't have to carry the weight of our sins, but we could live free lives, whole lives, like restored and fulfilled, blessed to the full, and that we could have eternity with Him in heaven. And so if you want to know Jesus tonight, you want to let God into your heart, then I want to pray with you tonight. So if that's you, while everybody's just got their eyes closed and everyone's praying, if you would just raise your hand with me, just to make that statement and just say, yeah, I want God in my life. I want to get to know Him. I want to start a relationship with Him. Or maybe you've had that before, but you just know that you're not there and you want to do that, then let's just pray together. Cool. We're just all going to pray this prayer on the screen, and just pray it from your heart. If you put your hand up or if it's just in your heart, then just really pray it and really mean it. Dear Jesus, I believe in You. Thank You for forgiving me. Come into my life and I'll follow You. Amen.